Let's go to Capitol Hill, where the clock is ticking for Senate Democrats. They're trying to get unstuck and cut a deal on President Biden's social spending plan before Biden flies to Europe this week. As you know, two centrist Democrats, Kyrsten Sinema of Arizona, Joe Manchin of West Virginia, are holdouts, forcing their colleagues to narrow the plan. For a long view on this, let's bring in again Julian Zelizer. He teaches history and public policy at Princeton. Julian, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Now, this is not the first time a senator or two controlled the fate of a big presidential agenda. You've written about Richard Russell in the past, John McCain in the more recent past. Can you tell us about those moments?
Sure. Richard Russell was a senator from Georgia who was one of the most powerful senators in the 1950s and early 60s. He headed a caucus of senators who prevented civil rights from passing almost every time until 1964. And he did have a group behind him, but he was single-handedly really holding up progress on racial justice. And during the Trump presidency, we remember Republican John McCain gave a thumbs down to repealing and replacing the Affordable Care Act and really stopped the administration in its tracks.
Now, you've written that this dynamic is kind of an object lesson in how the Senate works, how it's structured, right? Every state gets two senators, even the smallest states. So in the case of the present, lawmakers from West Virginia and Arizona wield a huge amount of power over the rest of the country. Is that kind of the way it works?
That's true. By design, every state gets the same number of senators. So that empowers smaller states that don't necessarily represent much of the country. And on top of that, the Senate's adopted all sorts of mechanisms for obstruction, like the filibuster. And so when you combine those two, senators who really don't represent nearly a majority of the nation can have immense power to just stop an administration from moving legislation.
So I guess the question is whether this is a problem or whether some see this as a problem. I guess in defense of the system, James Madison a long time ago argued in favor of a small deliberative body to think for a long time and cool the passions of the people.
Yeah, I mean, first, we have to remember the country's very different than it was at the founding. Industrialization, urbanization, immigration has changed what this country is. And the founders didn't imagine popularly elected senators. The founders didn't imagine a filibuster. So there's all kinds of things that exist that don't match what the founders wanted. And we are in a different place at this point. So I think we really have to judge how the institution is working right now on the terms of 2021 rather than the founding.
Mm. And so for those who see the structure as a problem, that it's leading to endless gridlock, what's the fix here, potential fix?
Well, look, there's some who push for big reforms and have proposals to basically reconstruct or redesign the Senate, but smaller steps are possible. Look, we didn't elect senators through popular elections. Now we do. The filibuster's on the table as the current area where we can reform the institution, either eliminating this practice altogether or allowing for more issues and policies to be carved out of the filibuster so that a majority rather than 60 votes are needed to pass something.
Let me run by you one other key legislative moment in history when LBJ's Great Society passed. Joe Biden's ambitious social agenda is often compared to that, but does Joe Biden have a much different Congress to contend with this time around?
He does. I mean, LBJ, by 1965, had 68 Democrats in the Senate, 295 Democrats in the House. The balance within the party had shifted from Southern conservatives to Northern liberals. And Republicans, many of them were willing to compromise with Democrats, either because they were so devastated by the 64 election, or there were more liberals in the party. So he had a Congress that by 65 was much more hospitable to legislating than Biden does today.
And one last quick question for you. President Biden, of course, spent his career in the Senate, and yet here he seems to let Congress kind of take the lead here, and only recently has he been kind of pushing on this. Are there lessons of history where a president who did push at a certain moment could get a bill over the top?
Yeah, I mean, LBJ is a good example. He respected Congress very much, but he also pushed it. He understood the institution needed a presidential push on key issues. He also worked with groups like the civil rights movement and the union movement to create external pressure on senators who were resisting action. And I think Biden can draw a lot of lessons from that.
All right, Julian Zelizer. He teaches history and public policy at Princeton University. His new book is Abraham Joshua Heschel, A Life of Radical Amazement. Thanks as always.
Thank you.